This evening to Luke chapter 2. I'm first going to read you the birth of Jesus from Scripture, as it's appropriate to do on Christmas Eve, and then I'm going to focus on verses 25 through 32. I'm not going to read those to you right now, but I'll read those to you further in the message tonight. But everything culminates in the question we've been studying: what child is this? You've seen the four parts that we discussed and of Joseph and Mary, the wise men and the shepherds. So tonight it all comes together. And so we speak of that. And so let's go to Scripture first. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over the flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men, on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all those things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. The reading of the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we've heard the story of the birth of our Savior, of your Son, Lord, may that resonate in our hearts tonight and even in tomorrow and the rest of this year, this week, Lord, as we celebrate our Savior. Lord, may your Spirit fill me with the words for these people tonight. And may these words that I've prepared be your words and never my own. And I pray for those that have gathered here tonight, Lord, that you open their hearts, their minds, and their souls to hear your teaching. May you bless them tonight with your presence. In Jesus I pray, amen.
I've always wondered, if I'd been at the stable that night,
would I have seen a king or just a baby?
If I'd stood there with the shepherds listening to stories about choirs of angels,
would I have asked, "What child is this?"
Or would I have known that he someday be the shepherd of all?
If I'd watched wise men bring valuable gifts
and kneel down under the guard of heavenly wonders,
would I have understood that he was the one in whom I'd find all wisdom?
And that he was the greatest gift of all?
Just as that baby was held by his mother,
he would hold me.
He would hold me with his amazing grace.
And his adoption by his father Joseph would be a picture of my adoption into God's family.
Who could comprehend that this baby who was defenseless,
swaddled,
and held,
would someday be the one holding me in his hands?
I didn't witness a star moving across the sky,
or scores of angels proclaiming his birth.
But somehow, in the middle of my ordinary world,
this extraordinary baby's birth found a place
in my worn down, beat up heart.
So like all those people who saw him,
he's the one I've been waiting for
to repair me
Redeem me.
Love me.
Forgive me.
Comfort me.
Help me.
Die for me.
Raise me to life.
So what child is this?
He's the one who comes to save me.
He's the one who comes to save me.
To save me.
To save me.
He's the one who comes to save me.
He is the one who has come to save you and I. We celebrate that tonight. He's the Messiah, the Christ, the Lord, the one many Old Testament believers were waiting for all those years, had heard about, had spoken about, knew about, that something big was to come, the Messiah. In a little bit, we're going to read the story of Simeon, who became a very old man who was waiting on the promise of the coming Messiah. And God promised him that you shall not pass away, Simeon, until you see the Christ child. And Simeon was a priest in the temple courts. And we'll read that story in just a little bit of what happens. But waiting can be difficult, a very difficult thing to do. How many of you enjoy waiting? And how many of you have the patience to wait? That's hard to do, isn't it? I see some of you laughing out there this evening because I can about imagine the stories that might be running through your head right now. Waiting is difficult. If I was to ask the children tonight, and I did some of them as they came in tonight, I asked them, have you opened any presents yet? And some said, no, not till after church. And they're busy, busy, busy talking. They're excited. Some said, oh, no, not till tomorrow morning. See, waiting can be so difficult. Will the waiting ever cease? Will the dawn of Christmas morning ever arrive? How much longer until we can leave our beds and open the morning with celebration and joy on that first Christmas day as they did? It's hard to wait for the arrival. Think about those who lived in the Old Testament time. And so we are called to be a waiting people. And so let me explain that to you this evening of what that involves. We are still a waiting people. The theme, command, and call to wait is one that reoccurs over and over throughout the Old and New Testament in the Bible. Waiting on the Lord is not intended to be a passive part of our life. We must also understand that tonight. Rather, biblical waiting is meant to be done with an active engagement of worship in your life. So let me just mention a few things here tonight. When waiting is mentioned in the Old Testament, the emphasis revolves around the daily walk with God. Make sure you hear this tonight. When waiting is mentioned in the Old Testament, because that still lives true for us today, the emphasis revolves around the daily walk with God and the need to wait on God's provision and care within the pressures and needs of our life. You see what I just read you? How many of you want the provision right now? How many of you want the prayer answered right now? But yet we must wait for God to do His work in God's time, which can be difficult at times. And so we still must be this way today. We must wait. Wait patiently on the Lord to do what He's going to do for us. And so the primary emphasis of waiting that is mentioned in the New Testament centers on waiting for the return of Jesus, the second coming, the second advent. We celebrate the first advent, but we wait for the second advent, the second coming of Christ. And so Jesus should have an effect on how we walk through this life, in our day-to-day relationship with Him, through the power of this Holy Spirit. You should walk in a different way than the rest of the world should be walking, because you walk in the hope of that second coming of Jesus Christ in your life. And may I encourage you with that this evening. Now, up on the screen, you might see some words. And these are, you see, they're kind of hard to understand, and I'll pronounce some of these, and I won't get them all right because they're put in English for you, but they would be Hebrew words from the Old Testament, words that reflect to us that we must wait. They have a little bit different meaning and context, each one of them, but this is what the Old Testament people would have had to live like and gone through, knowing and anticipating the birth of the Messiah, but not knowing when. And so here's some words. Kavah, to bind together, look patiently, to wait, to hope, to expect, to look eagerly, to wait. And then we have Yakal, to wait, to hope, wait with trust. Did you get that? Wait with trust that the Lord will do something. His promises are true and they're real. Wait with trust. And then we have Demam, to wait in silence, to be still, to grow silent in the presence of the Lord. And then the fourth one, Chakah, to wait, to long for this coming of the Messiah. Now, we also have three New Testament ones that I want to share with you. Now, these would be in the Greek. And so this is what the three words would mean. Prosodokomai, receive favorably, expect, look for, to wait for. And I'm going to add just a little bit more to each one of these words because they speak to us yet today. So this first one, prosodokomai, the focus of this word is on the coming of the Lord in either his first or his second advent. We are waiting for the second advent to come. And then we have the next word, apakadokomai, to wait, to expect eagerly. And let me give you a little bit more definition or meat to what this word means. The focus of this word is on the coming of the Lord and the glorious blessings that follow. Heaven is what it talks about. The glorious blessings that follow, the things we look forward to with anticipation when the Lord comes again. Families will be reunited. Our loved ones who've gone on before us will be reunited upon that second coming. And we wait for that eagerly. And hopefully you're excited about that as well. And then we have the last Greek word, anamino, to wait with patience. And confidence. See, there's a key word there again. As you walk and you live in this life of faith, have confidence that the Lord will return. And so here's a little bit deeper definition of that. The literal meaning of this word means to wait up as a parent might wait up for a child to come home. How many of you have waited for a teenager to come home at night and you wonder where they are? Maybe they're a little bit late and you're unsure. How many of you had to do that in your life? Ooh, we got a lot of hands going up there, don't we? Yeah, you know what that's like. So anamino means that we wait. And sometimes the wait can be difficult and hard. How many of you have ever been frustrated when you wait? Yeah, when my son doesn't answer his cell phone, I want to know where he's at, I get a little frustrated. Yeah, but this one, I don't want you to get frustrated. But that eagerness that you wait on the Lord, that's what I want you to have in your life. The night before Christmas. Think about that for a moment. May seem like the longest night of waiting during the year. Think back to when you were a child and you had to wait to open your gifts and how long that night was. However, the waiting for the advent of Jesus, that first Christmas, had been a long time coming for many generations of people. A long time. Luke's gospel depicts the waiting that Israel had been engaged with for centuries. Centuries they waited for this coming Messiah. And so now I'm going to share with you just a little bit, and if you have your Bible open yet, Luke 2, we're going to go back to 25 through 32, and we're going to read that. This is the story of Simeon, who would have been in the temple, And so Mary and Joseph, they're bringing Jesus to the temple to dedicate him and stuff. He's been circumcised already, day 8. And so it talks about, it would have been about day 41. Mary and Joseph, they walk into the temple. She's holding baby Jesus. Simeon's there. He's a priest. He's inside the temple. And the Holy Spirit summons him to go to the temple. Now listen to what the Bible says in this story. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms, and he praised God, saying, now you got to imagine, Mary and Joseph, they don't quite understand what's going on here yet. Mothers, how many of you would like it if somebody came and took your child out of your arms, and you were a little bit unsure? So Simeon, he does this. And this is what he says. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you've prepared in the sight of all people, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles, that's you and I, and the glory to your people, Israel. What do you think Mary and Joseph were thinking now? When Simeon pronounced that prophetic word of who this child was, they maybe understood that the angel spoke to them, and they get this, that this is the Savior. But this is this confirmation and reaffirmation from God the Father that this is the Savior. This is the child. The waiting for the first arrival of the Lord was over. Jesus had come. You know, you think back to that first Christmas when that celebration started. It was small. A few shepherds, the wise men eventually came a little while later, and Mary and Joseph there, and maybe some animals and stuff like that. But look at where it's at today. It started small, but it would grow through the years. Now, our world has tainted it, and they've tried to steal it from us, I think, sometimes. But really, Christmas is our holiday for Christians, for believers in Jesus Christ. And we hope that the world will see someday of who this Savior is by the way that you and I live. But these celebrations continue every Christmas. And so followers of Jesus all over the world celebrate the waiting of the Messiah, the second coming. The first one is over. And so we must patiently wait for Christ's return. And let me encourage you with this too as well. The waiting is not meant to be a passive waiting on the return of Christ. Let me get to the next slide. There we go. The waiting is not meant to be a passive waiting. That doesn't mean that we just fall back on our laurels and we just kind of just do what we want to do as we live our Christian life. And that's not how we are to wait. This waiting is meant to be a combination of relational walking and waiting with all the Old Testament emphasis that I spoke about earlier, that we're supposed to be busy and doing the things of the kingdom, but the emphasis of it being day by day in all our circumstances, while at the same time it being a longing and looking and positioning and preparing of our life for the return of Christ. Yes, we are a waiting people. And that's a good thing. But don't just sit around. Be about the work of the kingdom. We are called to wait with trust. We are called to wait with hope. We are called to wait with expectant provision. Quiet at times, yet always knowing that he's coming very soon. May we celebrate the waiting of the first Advent, that it's over. But may we prepare and position our hearts and lives day by day as we continue to wait for the second advent to take place. May we live our lives with joy of Christmas and the new birth that is ours in our own lives when we put our faith and hope and trust in Him. My prayer is that all of you in this place tonight have put your faith, your hope, and your trust in Jesus Christ. And if you haven't yet, do that. May God come into your heart tonight. And may we never cease to celebrate as we continue to wait on our Lord. And all of God's people said,